Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a day of the week of a month of a year. And that year is the worst year ever, which is whatever year you are in right now. My name is Cody Johnston.
Oh, that was so good, Cody. You didn't even plan that. You just went with it. Just open your mouth and a great intro came out. I'm Katie Stoll.
I wrote your compliment for me, but thank you.
He did.
I am a different person.
It's true. We're all three separate, people.
Separate but connected to
three
you.
Three different folks.
Via both the internets.
Well, and yeah. Through ineffable strings of personal solidarity and emotional complementarity also.
It's true.
Is complementarity a word? Love
no.
that.
No. It is. Maybe. It might be.
It should be and will be. It can be. And
no one
like
knows.
A Moira Rose. I'm guessing you guys haven't seen Schitt's Creek.
No.
It is a Moira but Rose.
That's correct.
No. She's wonderful. And she also, the greatest of low. I didn't do a good made up word. She's great at making up words. I'm not. We have not yet started the show, really.
Oh, I beg to differ. I think it started and ended. Bye, everybody.
Peace out.
Signing off. So today, hi, we're talking about the news that most people are probably talking about, which is the result of the Chauvin trial, the murder of George Floyd.
Yeah,
by
a bad day
officer.
For the chauvinists.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was good.
Thank you.
That
thank
sounds
you.
Like that sounds like a title right there.
Yeah, I had that one in the fucking in the chamber for I don't know months, but I didn't want to tell it until
it.
He got convicted because it was gonna it would be in poor taste if he got convicted. Or I just wouldn't feel like joking. But now I do feel a little bit like joking about Derek Chauvin.
It's time to smile a bit about the news. Do you mind if we use that as the title? Sophie, let's use it as the title.
Fuck you, chauvinists? Something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bad day for chauvinists. Mm-hmm. He did it. He was convicted.
He was convicted.
Yeah,
he sure was.
Indeed.
They convicted the shit out of him for the murder that he committed in public. With cameras, you know, it's one of those. The real lesson here is that in America, if you murder a man over the course of 9 minutes while a number of people film from multiple camera angles, and then millions of people take to the streets to protest that murder and burn down sizable chunks of a number of cities, then eventually you will see justice if you are a cop.
Yeah, sometimes. That's all it takes.
That's all it took.
Let's all feel hopeful that that's all it
takes. That's all it took.
It's maybe not the best system. Not the best system in the world.
Yeah.
It could be better.
Especially since a lot of us, even though that was the case, were waiting for them to not do the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're all surprised.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting. I was after his colleagues kind of turned on him, right? When the blue wall of silence broke, I was like, okay, he's getting convicted on something. Because his fucking supervisor wasn't going to go testify against him if there wasn't a wide consensus that this motherfucker, among cops, that this guy had to go away for the good of the job. But I kind of expected him to get, like, the manslaughter and found innocent on the... I certainly didn't expect him to be found guilty of murder, too.
Yeah.
Which is great. Like, he did murder a guy.
Yeah, all three.
Yeah. Yes. I would agree with you, Cody, for sure.
Yeah, watching it after the first one was read, I was like, okay, bracing for the other two.
Yeah.
Like so it was definitely...
Although, after the first one was read,
got
I
read-ed.
Did feel a little wild flame of hope. I was like, is this going to happen? And it did. And I...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, no. I mean, no, continue, Katie.
I mean, I was really just wrapping up that same thought. I do that a lot, is I'll start a thought and just kind of hope that the words come out in a way that makes sense. So,
yeah.
You can't
know when words will or won't happen.
Yeah.
That's not how words work.
But I think what we're all saying is it was an emotional verdict. I mean, I mean, you could just feel people, even if you weren't around anyone.
Oh, God. Just yeah. Go. No, I mean, I teared up. Like, yeah. I got it. I was on yeah. a run, and I made sure that I was out running with the sun shining on me because I didn't want to. I was kind of bracing for the worst, and I didn't want to be, like, sitting yep. at my desk in an office when I found out that he was going to get to go home or something. And I pulled up Twitter to refresh the feed, and before the feed refreshed, I just saw the guilty on all three counts or some variant of that was trending, and it was like, oh my God, okay, okay, and yeah, then I cried,
yeah,
because it was you know, I watched so many people get hurt so badly, not just because Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd, but that was the inciting incident to a lot of stuff. And seeing that at fucking least, he is not going back to his house. He is not going
seeing
back to the street.
Seeing
him get
handcuffed and walked out after the verdict was read was incredibly satisfying.
With his bail revoked.
Yeah, and after all of the scary shit that's been happening in Minneapolis this mm-hmm. week with the fucking National Guard being brought in and just like this sheer amount of police in Philadelphia, them calling out the guard before any protests even started, mm-hmm. like just to in the midst of all this police state bullshit to see confirmation that, yes, there is, you can go too far. Like a cop can go too far for the system to back it. And it takes, again, millions of people throwing their bodies into a meat grinder, but there we found the line.
Now, do we feel hopeful that this line being established helps act as a deterrent in the future?
I have to think it scares them to some extent.
To some extent.
I mean, and I think as much as the actual, I don't know, like it's one thing. They certainly haven't slowed up on murdering people. So it's too early to say, like, clearly the mass nationwide protests didn't. Well, I don't know. A lot of cops have been quitting since mm-hmm. last year. And I think that those are the ones who could be deterred are the ones who are like, well, fuck it. This ain't mm-hmm. this ain't me no more. I have to think. So I don't think protests were ever going to deter the monsters like Chauvin, right? The people who are out there looking to cause harm as opposed to just kind of callous to the harm that they cause. I would say I think it has to make some of those guys think twice. I would suspect if they're not idiots, they have to be looking at Chauvin and being like, well, fuck. At least have to be more careful when I'm out in public in broad fucking daylight.
And there's a camera in my face.
I don't know how much, you know, we've talked about this in the episodes of Bastards we did on police training, on David Grossman. So much of their training focuses around not hesitating to use mm-hmm. deadly force. And in fact, there's even cases of there was a North Carolina cop in 2016 who got fired because he came to the scene of a suicide call, guy with a gun. The guy had a gun, but as the cop said, like, I knew immediately he was not a threat to anyone. He was in mental distress. And the cop started talking with the guy to try to talk him down. Two other cops arrived and shot him dead. And then the cop who had been trying to talk this guy down got fired because mm-hmm. he hadn't shot and he was supposed to. He did sue the department and won like $190,000. But I make that point because so much of why there's two different kinds of police killings, right? There's the police killings that people are trained to do to react with way too much deadly force because they believe it will protect them or because they've been taught that that's how you protect yourself and your fellow officers. And then there's the police violence that's like a guy like Chauvin where some of them just want to murder people and have a badge while they do it. I think I'm hoping that the people who just want to murder will dissuade them at least from committing those crimes in the open. They have to be more careful now, I think, is the verdict. But I don't know how this affects the cops. The majority of police killings are not guys with a murder boner. They're people who have been taught all that matters is whether or not you're scared. And if you're scared, you can kill people.
Right.
I don't know how much this impacts that, you know, because this was not that. Chauvin was not afraid for his life. You know, he had his knee on a guy's neck for 9 minutes. It's not a dude sees a kid in the dead of night. There was gunfire earlier. He shoots the kid. Turns out the kid was unarmed. That's a different kind of killing. I'm not saying it's more acceptable, but it's a different thing. And I don't know that this verdict will make that less likely.
Right. It's also just sobering when you look at the fact that, I mean, obviously this is a win. The majority of cops just are not convicted for the things, you know, as you just laid out.
Yeah.
If there is a way to wiggle out of the verdict, they will find it, you know?
Yeah, it's part of the issue was that it was a high profile case. It needs to be a high profile case in order to have this happen. I think
part of it is they fucking lit the third, they burnt the third precinct down. I don't think that's a non factor in why this went this way.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and Dante Wright.
Yeah.
Being killed last week, 10 miles away. Mm-hmm. I mean, all eyes are on this, I mean, this case, this trial, this area.
The city.
And, I mean, this does set the stage for, was her name Kim Cooper? I don't have it in front
Kim
of me.
Kim Potter, I think her name was.
Yeah. Who, I'm sorry to all the Kim Coopers out there. You know, for what will happen with her trial.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible that he's been that verdict came out, but it's obviously not lost on any of us that this is only the seventh on duty cop to be convicted of murder out of 15,000 police killings since 2005.
Yep. Yeah.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
I did want to read, I'll give credit where it's due. Jake Tapper tweeted this. It was the original press release from the Minneapolis police after George Floyd's murder. Mm. And it's real interesting to read just in terms of thinking any time in the future you see a press release from the police, think about how accurate this one was and apply that to whatever press release you see come out of the
finally
cops. Yeah. May 25th, 2020, Minneapolis. On Monday evening, shortly after 8 p.m., officers from the Minneapolis Police Department responded to the 3700 block of Chicago Avenue South on a report of a forgery in progress. Officers were advised that the suspect was sitting on top of a blue car and appeared to be under the influence. Two officers arrived and located the suspect, a male believed to be in his 40s, in his car. He was ordered to step from his car. After he got out, he physically resisted officers. Officers were able to get the suspect into handcuffs and noted he appeared to be suffering medical distress. Officers called for an ambulance. He was transported to Hennepin County Medical Center by ambulance, where he died a short time later. At no time were weapons of any type used by anyone involved in this incident.
Your knees are a weapon.
I mean, and also, there's no talk about that.
There's no talk about that.
There's not even a talk about restraint. Just officers were able to get the subject into handcuffs.
After that, he was transported to, you know, I mean, and you're so right. I mean, speaking of the 13-year-old who was murdered, I mean, they lied in their statement saying that the suspect was holding a gun when he was not, in fact, holding a gun. Talked about this on Even More News last week, but it is gutting to watch that video. See that kid
hands
up.
Don't watch the
also,
new video of the shooting today in Columbus, Ohio the verdict.
Yeah, it's
15-year-old girl.
A 15-year-old girl shot, which happened, I think the shooting happened while they were reading the verdict.
It was
during
it,
yeah.
And I haven't
in Columbus,
read the story
Ohio.
Yet. And then the other police statement. What were they saying? The NYPD this weekend, something about somebody threw a Molotov cocktail out the window during a traffic stop.
Yeah.
When it was like a cup of water.
A cup of water.
But that was also an official statement from the police. So, you know.
It's fun.
Should we talk about some other kind of responses, like maybe Nancy Pelosi's?
Oh, sweet Christ. Yeah.
Someone have that in front of them. Sophie, do you see?
I'll pull it up. I can play the audio.
Play the audio.
Yeah. We should have the audio in here. Here's Nancy Pelosi's beautiful face. Let's roll.
Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
Yes. Nancy Pelosi explaining how,
God,
by being murdered, George Floyd gave his life.
Here's the thing, also.
That's a horrible way to say that.
Awful way to say it. And, like, obviously, like, she's so terrible at this. Your death won't be in vain.
Thank you, George, for dying.
But the justice she's talking about is the murderer getting convicted. So, like, she's saying, thank you for sacrificing yourself so that the guy who killed you can get convicted. They're just opposed statements. They do not work together.
Yeah.
Justice would also be like, well, now you can't, like, killed by the cops because of this reason. Like, or not, like, yeah.
It's amazing because you could say the non-offensive and accurate version of that without committing to anything. I get it. She's a politician. They don't like to do things that matter. There's a way to even say that no one could get angry at you for, which is, this is a terrible tragedy, but we're not going to let his death be in vain. You know?
There you go. You did it in one shot.
And you don't even have to do anything. You can keep being Nancy Pelosi and keep being useless.
And it's not just Nancy Pelosi. I've seen other things of, like, you know, I don't have an example off the top of my head, but there's a really cringeworthy way of approaching talking about this. As if this is good, actually.
Yeah.
Like the Las Vegas Raiders posting, I can breathe for 2021. Fuck off!
Yeah.
Corporations, don't post this shit. You guys suck.
But, like, again, this isn't, like,
fuck?
Justice. It's, like, the bare minimum of justice, right?
Yeah, it's not addressing any actual problems.
Not doing those things. It's saying, like, it's, you sacrifice yourself so that the thing that happened
There's no justice within the system.
I will make one point that I've thought about throughout the trial. Okay. And this is a separate point from what we were just talking about, but thinking of social media, I've seen a lot of posts of, like, we don't need a trial to know that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd, or I didn't need to take with some X amount of days. And look, I agree. We all know that that's true. But we do like trials. We like that he's going through trial. We like that he gets convicted of all three counts publicly, in, you know, unanimously for everybody to see. I don't know if it's
unanimous. It's good that he got.
It's good. It's a good thing, actually.
Justice is that George Floyd didn't die. Justice is the police don't act like this and do this and get away with it all the time, and things are going to actually change. It's not that they punished the guy who did the thing to the guy who allegedly sacrificed himself so that the thing could happen. It's just very frustrating.
None of this is justice. It's consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what this is we decided as a society, after an enormous amount of violent struggle, that this is the sort of thing, I shouldn't say this is the sort of thing, because a lot of cops are still getting away with murder. This specific crime had to have legal consequences. Like, we fought as a nation to ensure that this man and maybe his accomplices would be specifically punished for this crime. And the hope and the responsibility we have is to ideally make sure that other people are also face consequences as a result of this, that the system that allowed Derek Chauvin to do what he did and to get away with a lot of violence before he killed George Floyd, that system also suffers consequences. That would be nice. All we know right now is that he's going to suffer consequences.
Right, exactly. So even, yeah, even the, like, warped, set, like, mm-hmm. way she's saying it in the sentiment, like, even that's not true.
Yeah.
But enough about Nancy Pelosi. She's not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll come back and we'll talk about, I don't know, cops killing people more or protests or something. We'll talk.
Or
we're definitely going
to
talk.
Yeah.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we are back from that break. Booyah.
We sure
know.
Are.
I'm trying stuff out.
It worked.
And we're going to talk about some news things.
We sure are, friends. So, in terms of, like, what the reaction's going to be, I have some friends in Minneapolis. It sounds like, hopefully, there's going to be a big kind of party-slash-mourning, kind of Irish wake sort of situation in the streets. We'll see if the fucking cops and the National Guard go ape shit on it. If they're smart, they'll let it happen. But also, it's possible people will go off, you know? I don't know. I suspect in Portland there's a thing, a protest slash celebration planned for tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. It being Portland, one of two things is possible. It could either be a lot of people show up, and more or less it's kind of like what happened after the election, where a bunch of people come together and there's a, you know, just sort of an acknowledgement that, like, hey, the thing that needed to happen happened, and it's horrible that the thing that caused this also happened. Let's all be together. Or it's possible that people will break more windows and light some shit on fire. Portland, it's always possible that people will light some shit on fire and break some windows.
Maybe someone will throw a water bottle, and then the someone police will react in the way that they react.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, in Portland, things have moved towards a lot of fairly small, 100 to 200 people focused direct actions, with a lot of emphasis on property damage, both to police property and to businesses, because we haven't really had a mass protest in a while. So if a lot of people show up, that'll be interesting. But I think there's an attitude among kind of the more extreme abolitionist activists that you shouldn't ever kind of let up on the pressure, and it's always the time to break more shit, which, you know, is a strategy we can debate the efficacy of. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. My hope is that people, like, take a minute and just kind of let this one sink in, but yeah, people do whatever it is they're going to do. The mayor has already declared a state of emergency. The National Guard are on standby. I'm sure the police are on high alert.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere. They're fucking
circling my house.
Yeah,
right,
tactical
now.
Alert in LA.
Yeah, there's
all kinds of.
So I don't know what's gonna happen. My hope is that people, like, kind of just take a night to grieve and also relax a little bit. Not relax, that's the wrong word. Take satisfaction that
reflect
it that they're among the achievements of sort of the protesting and rioting and whatnot last year. One of those achievements was that the fucking state had to throw this guy under the bus. I think that's really that's why his colleagues testified against him. They were fucking terrified of another year like last year, and that's a win. And I think a productive thing for protesters and activists in particular to focus on now. I don't know. I think there's this, I see it in Portland. And again, I'm not here to tell anyone what the right or the wrong thing to do is, but I think a productive thing to do would be to focus in the immediate future more on kind of building resilient systems of mutual aid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think, I don't know. I don't, I don't think the I think there's a time and a place protesting wise for property damage. I don't think it always achieves the ends that people think it will. And I think sometimes it's okay to, I think we're in this interesting position on the left where the right wing's street movement has taken a serious and kind of devastating hit recently. And the right wing political movement is also on its on a back foot. It has not taken nearly as much of a hit, but it's not where it was even 10 months ago. And I think it behooves us to take advantage of this sort of period of weakness, relative weakness for them, to build a stronger base, as opposed to focusing just on kind of directly confronting the state, providing alternatives to it. I think that's a wiser long-term strategic goal to accomplish. I think it will actually, I think number one, the next time it's necessary, the next time a lot of people take to the streets, it'll make that movement more durable. But I also think it just is something that it sounds better to a lot of people. You can get more people on board. You can kind of bring them on to the movement, bring them on to left-wing politics in a way that kind of the more extreme protests aren't necessarily going to turn those people off, but this it's not going to get them active.
Yeah. This is where you do the other kind of work, the real work, the laying the groundwork,
preparing,
organizing, and being ready for the next moment of action.
There's a lot of focus I see, particularly within anarchist circles. I mean, anarchists are always, there's always a lot of mutual aid work, but there's a lot of, I think because people have gotten traumatized and also got into this rhythm of fighting, this focus on fighting the state. And I think at the moment, one of the best things you can do to fight it is provide people alternatives to the state, in addition to just kind of attacking symbols of state power. And in fact, I think that providing alternatives, particularly in our present moment, is probably a better way of building power right now.
Yeah.
That's my thinking on the matter.
And demonstrating, to people what is possible.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's not the moment of extreme heightened tension where there's lots of different information and stories being floated. It is a time when you can actually talk with people and have conversations and make changes. I'm feeling sad. I wanted to say that, like, there was relief and I felt emotional, just like we all discussed when the verdict came in. I'm just feeling so sad for this past year and a half, for the trauma. Proud of everybody who's shown up and done stuff and marched and burnt things. And, you know, it's just, I'm sad. I don't know. This isn't a good point. I wanted to acknowledge it because I think that we're all feeling it. This episode feels very somber to me. I think we've all been watching all this thing unfold for so long, and there was a relief, and it's also not a relief because I don't know what changes are happening. People are being murdered as we speak. Black people, brown people. So I'm acknowledging it because I think that some of our listeners probably are feeling that right now.
Yeah. It's
end of pivot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want anything I've said to come across as saying, like, if you're doing anything in the streets besides mourning or, you know, celebrating or whatever tonight, that it's wrong. I think there's a wide variety of perfectly acceptable reactions to this. I hope people are still capable of taking some joy in some joy in doing damage to the thing that they hate.
Absolutely. Right? There's something to be proud of too in in this result. Absolutely. And there is joy, but all of your feelings right now are valid.
Yeah. Literally any reaction to this, other than being angry that Chauvin was convicted.
Is that your reaction? I don't know what you're doing listening to this
why,
show.
Yeah, why are you still listening to this podcast?
Get the fuck out of here.
What has been going on with you for a year?
Seats taken.
It's called the marketplace of the ideas. You're all welcome here. It's fine.
There's a wide
variety. But also you're wrong about that.
Yeah. There's amazing footage of George Floyd's family reacting to the verdict. Yeah, I mean, nothing, you know, this doesn't fix anything, but it is, It's like when, you know, in a video game, when you've got one of those kind of video games, like I think a side scroller is the term for it. You've got those bad guys that have like a bunch of different pieces, and you have to shoot off the different pieces. And when you do enough damage, like that little the thing in the center of them starts to glow, yeah. Yep. And then you can shoot that, and that's how you take out the bad guy. We blew off like a chunk of armor, and now there's like 15 seconds where the carceral system's big glowing weak spot is pulsing. I don't know. I don't want to like. I don't think it's as limited a time frame as that, but it is a situation where, all the reactions we've seen in the last week, you know, is as much of a massive show of force as we saw in Minneapolis, as we saw in as we started to see in Philadelphia, as we've started to see in DC. You know, I think there were like thousands of cops out for like 150 protesters there. As much of a like, I think that the kind of escalations and deployed force that we saw prior to the verdict were signs of fear. They were the system going, oh God, we can't do this again, not again, please.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, that's not how they framed. They framed it more as like we have to crush this thing before it gets started again. But the fact that the fact of the matter is, last year was rough for them. It and there have been consequences. You know, we're on two states that have restricted qualified immunity now. Saying that they abolished it isn't entirely accurate, but it is a meaningful restriction. And at least one city, I think in Denver, and we're seeing more bills put up throughout the country to at least restrict police power. There's growing pushes within the Democratic Party to have Biden reverse the 1033 program, which I think is something people should really push on. That's the flow of military grade weapons to the police. Biden is on track to do it at least as much, if not more, than Trump. That doesn't need to happen. He's still early on. And if he were to take action quickly, that could be a lot of police militarization slowed down. And I think there's opportunity to do all of that. And I think more than anything, again, the fact that multiple Minneapolis police officers testified against Derek Chauvin is a sign that they're scared. They recognize they're in a precarious position.
They're at least aware of the times and like what they, their place in it.
The changing that the times are doing. Yes.
Yeah. You'll see stuff like that. Also, there'll be a backlash from the police.
There'll be things
that they'll do. But
and Ben Shapiro's angry.
What was his hot take? I saw him trending. God. And didn't investigate.
Was it Lester Holt whose tweet? It was
Don Lemon, I believe.
Don Lemon. Don Lemon posted like justice is done or something like that account when the verdict came in, and Ben Shapiro said, I bet he wouldn't be saying that if the opposite had happened. And it's like, no,
what even is that point?
Yes, Ben,
no.
You're right. He wouldn't
he's
be
right.
saying justice is served if
what?
A murderer
he,
was exonerated. When
he's right,
like,
he's right.
A mistake. What?
It's like a guy comes in, a plumber comes in to fix your sink, and you're like, thank you for fixing my sink. And someone says, you wouldn't be saying that if you hadn't fixed your sink. No, I guess I would.
You're right. That's a really good comparison.
That's why his voice is so important.
I have a theory after hearing that just now. He tweeted that because he's secretly happy about it, but he didn't want to tweet. He didn't want to admit it. So he just came up with some obscure bullshit to tweet that sounded critical.
He's also talking on his show with his crew of people about how there's like no evidence that he's racially motivated.
Whoops.
At all. Or
completely
like racism involved.
Rescind
or like,
my
first
theory.
Off, like, that wasn't the trial. The trial wasn't whether or not Derek Chauvin was
That's
a racist.
True.
It was did he murder a guy. We're inferring the racism.
He's not on trial for being a racist.
But that's
what it feels like sometimes.
It's very sweet though, Katie, that you give him the benefit of the doubt. Like,
no,
that
was naive. I was just reacting in real time without having other information. I'm sweet.
No, that's nice. Yeah. That's not because it is one of those things. Like, fuck, I would say for all of the disagreements I have with a lot of people in my family who are more conservative, I don't know. None of my right wing family members think Derek Chauvin isn't a murderer. Like it was yep. that bad, you know.
Yeah.
It was that bad a video. Even people who reflexively defend the cops were like, Jesus.
Except Ben Shapiro.
Well, except for the fascists, you know, yes. the fascists did what fascists do. But I think most people who are just actual conservatives were like, whoa.
Yeah. Robert's exactly right on that point.
Yeah.
I mean, my conservative relatives watched this trial very closely and everyone's just like, he's a murderer.
Yeah. Fuck that
yeah,
guy.
Fuck that
clear.
Guy.
Even,
he's a murderer.
I was watching Newsmax pretty much all day for the first time. It's a
Cody,
fascinating
I'm so
channel.
Sorry.
I know. I don't know why. It was just a choice I made. I was very interested to see how they talk about it and then their reaction after the fact. Awful through and through. It's not a good channel. But even like Madison Cawthorn was on. And he was like, yeah, it appears as though, you know, there was, I'm glad there was justice against someone who might have been a bad cop. And it was like, you're so fucking close, man. Why did you have to add that? It's just, they can't. Like, they're incapable of, like, getting to that point. They know, but they can't even do that.
We can't do that as a country, or at least as, I don't know, like, we don't. This was about as close outside of pot legalization, about as close like this specific trial, not the broader question of like police reform. But this specific trial was as close to like even Trump was like, well, that guy looks like he committed murder.
Yeah.
You don't even get Trump.
If you're a cop and Trump won't defend you from killing a guy, you really stepped out of line.
they're still going at it, though. Candace Owens is on Tucker right now,
I'm
talking
sure.
about
Absolutely.
How it wasn't a fair
Absolutely.
Trial.
No.
Yeah. Everyone on Newsmax is talking about how it was. At one point, the guy, this fucking little twerp, was talking about how, yeah, if it were any other day, it was just a knee on the neck. The next day, it'd be a stiff neck. Anyone with an older brother can tell you that. So they're like, they're on overdrive now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're going to be doing horrible, horrible. Like, it's going to continue to be a nightmare. Yeah.
But many people across the nation who are not on television agree. So that's something.
With who? With us or with them?
With like the idea that the cop killed that guy. It was murder.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, I veered it away towards actually the media's being awful, but I think it's a valid point and good point to point out that like, yeah, no, people saw what was going on.
Yeah.
And, Cody just said that I'm always right, and I think that's a great way to end the episode.
I agree.
That is a great way to end the episode. Except for when she gives Ben Shapiro the benefit of the doubt. But that's just you
but
being
that,
a nice
I'm
person.
I'm not right. I'm sweet. And so that's
yeah,
nice.
Marketplace of ideas. You know, we have
marketplace
to...
of ideas. Some people think Ben Shapiro is a monster. Some of us think he's merely incompetent, you know?
Some of us think he's incontinent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I don't like, cut it. I don't like it. It's not a good joke.
It's really lame. It was so funny at times.
Sometimes I become my dad really quick and it's like really alarming.
The only comment I'll make on that is that you know Ben Shapiro's poops are like a little mouses.
And
right?
you
like
know little, you almost little, said Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro, I did. But like size wise, they have to be you know, like if you've ever like lived out in the country and had like a mouse get in your house and stuff, those little pellets, compressed pellets, like a gerbil or something, maybe.
Like
too.
Stuart Little.
Like Stuart Little. That's the size of Ben Shapiro's big poops. You know, when he's proud, when he's got to bring his wife
in. The proud big boy poops.
And this isn't a short joke. It's just a Ben Shapiro joke.
It's a Ben Shapiro joke. It's just a generally tiny joke.
Yeah. he's just a little baby boy. It's fine.
I don't know. Like, look, I'm not proud of making those jokes about Ben Shapiro, but I'm not going to take
I'm
them
fine
back.
With it.
Yeah.
You can. You can. There's no way to edit that out.
Yeah.
End of
audio.
Episode.
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.